What if everything you believed about heart disease was backwards? For decades, we've been told to fear cholesterol like a ticking time bomb in our bloodstream. We've swallowed statins by the millions, banished butter from our tables, and watched cholesterol numbers with religious fervor. Yet heart disease remains the leading killer in the Western world. Perhaps we've been chasing the wrong villain all along. The evidence suggests we've fallen for one of medicine's most lucrative myths, a story so deeply embedded in our collective consciousness that questioning it feels almost heretical. But when you examine the data with fresh eyes, the official narrative crumbles like a house built on sand. Heart attacks aren't what most people imagine. The deadliest form isn't even a disease of the heart itself, but of the arteries feeding it. These vessels develop fatty buildups called plaques, structures that evolve from harmless streaks in childhood to potentially lethal formations in adulthood. The truly dangerous ones aren't the hard, calcified blockages, but the unstable, intermediate plaques, cyst-like structures with thin walls surrounding semi-liquid centers. When these rupture, they trigger massive clotting responses that can completely choke off blood supply. The heart muscle downstream suffocates and dies, what doctors call a myocardial infarction. About half of victims die within the first hour, often before help arrives. Modern medicine's interventions improve survival by merely 2 to 3%. Half die too quickly to treat, and 40% would survive anyway. Yet puzzles remain. Japanese and American men show similar atherosclerosis levels, but Japanese men suffer far fewer heart attacks. Many heart attacks involve clots formed days or weeks earlier. Russian coal miners die young from unfelt heart attacks. The clogged pipe model misses something fundamental. If heart muscle truly died like frostbitten tissue, it would blacken and create fatal holes. Instead, it becomes scar tissue, sometimes hibernating for months awaiting restored blood supply. The heart even grows new circulation routes around blockages. Cholesterol isn't the toxic villain we've been told. It's essential for brain synapses, vitamin D production, cell membranes, and sex hormones. Your liver produces 4 to 5 times more cholesterol than you consume, revealing its crucial importance. Even Ansel Keys, who campaigned against saturated fat for decades, admitted, "There's no connection whatsoever between cholesterol in food and cholesterol in blood. The liver cannot convert fat into cholesterol. The molecular building blocks are completely different, requiring phosphorus, sulfur, nitrogen, and complex ring structures absent in fats. Here's another revelation. You don't actually have a cholesterol level in your bloodstream. Since cholesterol doesn't dissolve in water or blood, it travels inside carrier molecules called lipoproteins. The confusing terminology about good and bad cholesterol, those terms don't refer to different types of cholesterol, there's only one kind. They refer to different lipoproteins doing the transporting. It's like blaming packages for their contents. The cholesterol hypothesis has morphed repeatedly, starting with the claim that eating cholesterol raises blood cholesterol, which deposits on artery walls. When research disproved this, the hypothesis shifted to blame saturated fat instead. When it became clear we don't have cholesterol levels but lipoprotein levels, certain lipoproteins were simply renamed cholesterol. What counts as high keeps falling, from 7.0 20 years ago to 5.0 today, with some experts advocating 2.5, effectively meaning everyone should be medicated. The hypothesis began when Rudolf von Virchow found cholesterol in arterial plaques and assumed it came from blood. Russian researcher Nikolai Anichkov fed rabbits high cholesterol diets, causing arterial thickening, a fundamentally flawed model since rabbits are herbivores. After World War II, Ansel Keys presented his 7-country study showing correlations between saturated fat and heart disease, though he selectively chose countries supporting his hypothesis while ignoring contradictory data. The most damning evidence comes from UK rationing during and after World War II, when 50 million people followed a low saturated fat diet for 14 years. Heart disease rates nearly tripled. The French consume more saturated fat than any European nation, yet have 1/4 the UK's heart disease rate. When these paradoxes emerged, researchers invented elaborate explanations about garlic and red wine to protect the hypothesis from contradictory evidence. In 1988, the U.S. Surgeon General's office began compiling evidence linking saturated fat to heart disease. 11 years later, they abandoned the project. Bill Harlan of the Oversight Committee admitted, "The report was initiated with a preconceived opinion of the conclusions, but the science behind those opinions was clearly not holding up." The Women's Health Initiative followed 48,835 women over 8 years, reducing their fat intake from 37% to 29% of calories and saturated fat from 12.4% to 9.5%. Result? No significant differences in heart disease, stroke, mortality, or cancer rates. Does cholesterol cause heart disease? Consider this. Strokes and heart attacks both stem from atherosclerotic plaques, yet raised cholesterol isn't a risk factor for stroke. As Japan increased fat consumption between 1958-1999, cholesterol levels rose from 3.9 to 4.9, yet stroke mortality in men aged 60 to 69 plummeted from 1,334 to 226 per 100,000 yearly. Data from 648,551 people revealed that for women, the healthiest cholesterol level was around 5.5, with mortality increasing at both extremes. For men, the highest mortality occurred at the lowest cholesterol levels. The Framingham study found that falling cholesterol over 14 years predicted increased mortality in the following 18 years. Women present the ultimate paradox. They have higher average cholesterol than men, yet suffer far less heart disease, sometimes 300% less. Statins supposedly prove the cholesterol hypothesis by lowering LDL and protecting against heart disease. Yet even when LDL drops to 2, heart disease risk only falls by 30% maximum. The supposed causal factor can be virtually eliminated while the disease persists. Statins don't save lives in women, period. For men without heart disease, over 90% of the male population, they provide zero mortality benefit despite reducing cardiovascular events. Dr. Duane Graveline, a physician and former NASA astronaut, experienced severe memory loss and transient global amnesia after taking statins. The brain contains 25% of the body's cholesterol, critical for synapse formation. Other risks include polyneuropathy, muscle damage affecting 15 to 20% of patients, potential cancer risk, and heart failure. Statins block not just cholesterol synthesis, but also coenzyme Q10 production, essential for cellular energy, especially in heart muscle. While statins do reduce mortality in men with existing heart disease, the benefits are modest, increasing average lifespan by approximately 2 months over 30 years of use. After dismissing the cholesterol hypothesis, what actually causes heart disease? The primary culprit appears to be stress, specifically dysfunction in the system governing our stress response. Stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol, trigger metabolic chaos. Cushing's disease demonstrates this. Excess cortisol floods glucose into the bloodstream, breaks down fat, deteriorates muscle, and creates insulin resistance. The result? Raised VLDL/LDL, low HDL, high blood pressure, elevated clotting factors, all increasing heart attack risk. Depression creates similar effects, including visceral fat accumulation. Belly fat isn't genetic, it's stress system dysfunction. The stress hypothesis explains enormous variations in heart disease rates worldwide. The key stressor? Social dislocation, disruption of community bonds. Finland had the world's highest heart disease rate in the 1960s-70s after World War II forced 400,000 Finns to relocate. Glasgow followed after relocating 550,000 people from tenements to high-rises, destroying community bonds despite improved housing. The solution isn't more medications, it's rebuilding what matters: strong social connections, meaningful work, daily joy, and supportive communities. Exercise through activities you enjoy, cultivate relationships, and participate in community groups. These have measurable biological effects on heart health. Your heart isn't just a pump needing chemical management, it's intimately connected to how you feel, relate, and belong. The greatest risk factor isn't cholesterol, it's loneliness.